Welcome to Floor 600. This is a podcast where two friends, Natalie
and Quinn,
read books by Rick Riordan. We are currently on a break between series, so enjoy this special Feel Famous With Us inbox episode where we are reading your emails and answering your questions.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Here we go. So, this email was written to us by the Annabeth Chase, the first one who emailed us, not the second one, so not the birthday party Annabeth Chase, the other Annabeth Chase.
Yes.
All right, and this is a long one, but it's a good one, so.
Yep.
The attention, man. So, this is title, or subject line, Rachel and versus Annabeth. Hey guys, I've been agreeing with you about the Rachel versus Annabeth situation because it's really old. Ugh. See, I already can't read.
This is why I read the long ones.
Hey guys. I know. And this is going to be a struggle, friends. Hey guys, I've been agreeing with you about the Rachel versus Annabeth situation because it really is old-fashioned to pin girls against each other. But I've recently read a different point of view and had to share it with you. Annabeth's hatred for her was born out of fear. She had been... oh god. She had been abandoned by everyone. Her dad chose another family, Luke chose Kronos, and Talia chose the Hunters. Percy was the one who she believed wouldn't leave her. When she met Rachel, she and Percy were going on a date, no matter how much Percy denied it, lol. But she was actually starting to care for him. Now Rachel, who is mortal, safe, and normal, to her at least, comes in and gives Percy what she can't always promise him, a safe relationship where he won't be fending off monsters as much as he would should they be together. Can we actually blame Annabeth too much for being productive? That's all it is. She is jealous. Or she isn't jealous. She's terrified that Percy will leave her like everyone else. Once she realizes Rachel isn't a threat, they actually become great friends. Well, as for Rachel's point of view, Annabeth was being rude for reasons she didn't understand, and it's not like she was elaborating. So I think their quote-unquote rivalry is more of, quote, Annabeth can't lose everyone else, especially not Percy, quote, and, quote, Rachel has reason to be a little nasty towards Annabeth because from her viewpoint, she's just a jealous girl who's being rude, quote, rather than, quote, two girls fighting for a totally oblivious guy. Sorry, this was long, but once I read this idea, I had to let you know. Excited to hear your thoughts. Keep up the good work. Okay, I love this, Annabeth Chase, that you emailed us about this, Annabeth Chase. And I love this because it's like, yeah, I love that we can see so many different layers into Annabeth's thought process because it isn't just the love triangle that you see it at first light, at first glance, that's just an annoying teen love triangle.
Yeah.
But then you look at it deeper and it's like, no, Annabeth has all of these past traumas and this is just her past trauma interacting with the current trauma and this is amazing and I love it.
Yeah. I mean, we say all the time how many layers Annabeth has as a character.
Yeah. I love Annabeth. She's just amazing.
She's very multifaceted. Like, she's not one-dimensional at all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is...
It's like... I don't know. It's just amazing. She's just one of those characters that every time you read her, there's a new level to her thought process. There's a new reasoning behind it that you can see.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome.
And I love it when you guys write us with these kinds of theories or like drop them on our Twitter, because we always, it always like helps us see things in a different light, because, you know, we might have something different from each other, but sometimes we agree and then somebody else sends something and it's like, mind blown.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always great because it's just like, it just adds to the conversation, which is always, always nice.
Yes. And it makes it like, I don't know, this idea makes more sense to me than just Annabeth being like super jealous of Rachel.
Yeah, yeah, because she's not someone who just does something because of one reason, you know?
Yeah.
That's not Annabeth.
Yeah.
She has to have multiple reasons to do something. And yeah. That being that going with Percy to help the lightning or find the lightning thief or whatever. Zeus's bolt and the lightning thief.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, she wants to find this lightning and like be awesome and they got the eyes of the gods. But then also, she wants to go on a quest. She's never left Camp Half-Blood. Like, there are multiple right reasons for everything she has, and I love it.
And that's before she and Percy are friends, you know? Like, she's still irritated by him at that point. So, like, she wants to go on a quest because she's never been on a quest, and she wants to help prevent a war.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all.
But this...
Good on, Annabeth.
This email ties into a question that our patron Hilton asked, which is, I'd love to know who you guys find as the most compelling characters. I always find new aspects to Rachel's character each time I read through the series, especially her whole dynamic with the sort of love triangle between her, Percy, and Annabeth.
Yeah, agree. Rachel is a really complex character in herself, and she's awesome. And she's also one of those characters where you read her every time, and it's just like, ooh, yeah. I remember I liked this about you, Rachel. Like, I think I completely had forgotten before we did the reread of Labyrinth. That she's just so closed off to everybody.
Yeah.
She does not want to share her story at all. I completely forgot that about her. For some reason, in my memory, she was always this bubbly, open person. And that's a completely misremembered character. Like, that's not her at all. She is bubbly, I guess. But only after, like
you get to know
a
full
book of getting to know her. Yeah.
Well, she's like ashamed of her parents, you know, because like they're rich and powerful, I assume, and they have all this ability, but they don't care about people, so she feels so distant from them. So then when they're trying to get, you know, like answers about how she just, you know, got a chauffeur to drive them from the Hoover Dam. Like, she doesn't want to talk about it because she's like, oh, I don't want you to know who my parents are because I'm embarrassed by them. And it's interesting because it's the opposite of what you might expect to see a kid with rich parents feel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, come over to my house. I have a pool.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, as for who is the most compelling character, like, I mean, like, we've talked about Annabeth for hours and hours and hours and hours. You know,
I think Talia is a really compelling character. I would love to see more of Talia. I think basically seeing just a glimpse into the life of the hunters, that would be amazing. I would live for that. That sounds a perfect read. I think Clarice forever and ever. I love Clarice forever. When I first read this series, I definitely did not leave thinking Clarice is the best character ever.
Yeah.
I did, I sort of was like, meh, Clarice, okay. But now, after this reread, you guys know, I will die for Clarice. She is forever in my heart. She has a spot in my heart forever now.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when we did this reread, the one that I found, like, I felt very differently toward was Rachel. Like, I read her in a completely different way this time than I did the first time.
Yeah.
But I also found myself getting angry at Annabeth sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because of how she's, like, kind of mean to Percy sometimes. You know? But when you really look at Annabeth's trauma and how, like, difficult her life has been up until this point, and she's finally finding someone she cares about so much.
Yeah.
It's kind of understandable. Especially because Percy is super oblivious. So, yeah.
I think it's always great when you can have, I don't know, like, if have a character change in your reading of her, of them. Like, I don't know, like, yeah, like, between the first time you read it and then the second time you read it, it's like, wow, a completely different book. But it's not a completely different book. It's just, you're reading it at a different time of your life, you're reading it in a different, whatever, mood, and it just hits you in a different way. And I love that. I love that. Ethan Nakamura, I think he could be a really compelling character, but we didn't really get much of him, you know? Yeah. So, but what we did, it was like, what makes him like that? I
don't know why. Why are you this? So angry? We were talking about Ethan. How interesting of a character he is, because we get so little about him.
Mm-hmm. I love that, I think I get a lot of weird Ethan stuff that, like, pops up on my feed. And it's like, where are people getting the content that is inspiring all of this Ethan art and fanfics? It's just like, the 5 sentences that I'm hearing are not making me want to go and write a big fanfic about Luke and Ethan's relationship.
That's weird. Yeah.
Like, is there other things? Is there something that I'm missing? Like,
I think he's one of those characters that you can project yourself onto because he's so blank. You can predict, not necessarily yourself, but you can project whatever you want onto him. Because he's like a
maybe. Plate. I'm sort of wondering if there's like an extra hidden story or something that was like secretly published in half the books that were released. So,
wait,
there's
is
a portion of the population that knows.
Maybe there's a story about him in one of the files or the Demigod Diaries. Yeah, Ethan is also interesting.
I think Ethan's a really compelling character. I just don't.
He was not very well developed, but there wasn't a whole lot of time.
There's just so many compelling characters in this series. I think Rick's just an amazing. He's just amazing at writing characters and just making you believe that this is a real. That this is something that you can then place in whatever different situation. I love it. It's just wonderful. And then, like, all of these characters always have so many different layers, and you can tell that he's put thought into each of them.
Yeah.
It's just great.
And none of them are the same, you know? They all have different motivations and dreams and desires.
Mm-hmm. They might have very similar, like, character traits, as in, like, black hair, green eyes, or more specifically, blonde. There's a lot of blondes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blondes.
Yeah.
You have a lot of blonde hair, blue eyes, guys.
That's true. It's
very confusing trying to sort out some fan art.
Yeah, I can see that.
Also, like, tan girls black with black hair. There's like 50 of them.
Yeah. All right, so George wrote us again. George says, sorry. I'm very sorry for all these emails. The reason is I keep running out of storage on my phone. So I have two more questions for you. You don't have to apologize, George. We like hearing from you guys. We just won't necessarily always read every email. Just so you know. But we'll do our best to at least email you back. All right, so one, who are your three least favorite gods? Ares.
You want to start a freaking war.
Yeah, by saying that Ares is my least favorite god. I don't like Ares. I don't like Hera.
Who's your third?
Man, I kind of want to say Dionysus, but I also don't want to say Dionysus.
Yeah.
He's like in the middle.
Okay. I sort of love Hera for how awful she is.
No.
But you do have to put her on the low end of it.
Yeah.
So I'll put her as like the third, you know, in the row. So Hera's three. Ares is just such a terrible father.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
So Ares is there. Mr. D can't be there. Because as annoying as he is occasionally helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that fond of Zeus.
And if I'm thinking of just Percy Jackson, Apollo. Like, really? Of the Percy Jackson Olympian series.
What? Apollo?
A bit of a butthole.
Is he?
Remember, he hits on the hunters all the time when he's a
queen. Oh, yeah. That's true. He is annoying. But that doesn't...
No, and I'm not discounting him. Like, I think he probably has a redemptive arc or else he wouldn't have his own solo series at this moment.
True. I feel like Zeus. I feel like Ares is my least favorite.
Zeus is terrible.
Zeus is irritating. So Ares is my number one least favorite. Then Hera, and then Zeus. Ares and Hera are actively horrible, and everybody else is kind of passively horrible.
Yeah. That's good though. Yeah, like, I like your reasoning.
Thanks.
I agree. But again, I sort of love Hera for being actively horrible, because Zeus deserves it sometimes. Part of
Annabeth Chase doesn't.
No, Annabeth Chase doesn't, but when she is actively going against her husband, it cracks me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna... Ares, number one. He's a bad dude. Bad father. Bad role model.
Abusive. Bad.
Number two. I'm gonna do Zeus, because he deserves it. And number three, Hera. So we have the same people, but we have it in different orders.
Yeah. Nice. Good job. Virtual high five that you missed. That's okay. Wow. All right, and then George's second question is, two, what is your favorite book in all of Uncle Rick's novels? I love that favorite is spelled with a U.
There you go. He's good. He's a good speller.
I mean, I've only ever read the first series, so of that, I can say that The Last Olympian is my favorite one. Because it's very intense.
Yeah.
It's very, feels very real and raw. And it's just a great ending to that part of our good old Percy Jackson's life before I hear things get worse and worse in Heroes Olympus, so.
Yeah. I can't say that any of the Heroes of Olympus books that I read stand out to me as a favorite. Like, I wasn't like, this was an amazing book. It was more, oh my god, Percy Jackson is back again, and now he has more friends.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lightning Thief will always be perfect, I think. I think that's just such a great book.
Yeah, it is a great book.
And I haven't read any of the other ones other than the, you know, Percy Jackson and the Olympia, or Percy Jackson and then the Heroes of Olympus. So I don't know about the other ones. But the ones that I have, I think Lightning Thief, because it's just, it's the one that gets you in. It's the one that hooks you. It's great.
Yeah. That's true. It is very good. Despite its cringeworthy moments.
Mm-hmm. There are many cringeworthy moments, but you gotta love them, or else you're not gonna love the rest of the series.
It's a very 2005, okay? Yes. George says, thanks, George. You're welcome, George. Thank you for writing.
Yes. Thank you, George. I tip my invisible hat to you.
All right. And then, moving on, we have the second Annabeth Chase, Birthday Party Annabeth Chase.
Birthday Party Annabeth Chase.
But this one says, I love you guys, with three hearts in the subject line. Hi, it's me again. I just listened to your latest podcast. I couldn't stop laughing as you were reading my email. I felt famous, which is probably why that's the title of the section. It is.
Yep.
Anyway, I wanted to recommend something. You have to read The Maze Runner! It is my second favorite book series. I love it, and you really should read them. The movies are good, but nowhere near the book. I'm in love with Newt, my favorite character. Bye, Annabeth, with like 7 trillion hearts. You know, I really, really enjoyed those movies. I tried to read the first book, and it's like this thick. All of them are like this thick. Lies. It's thicker than any Percy Jackson book. Yes. You know what? I'm gonna Google it. And we'll see who's right. Hey, Google. Oh, shoot. I already had it up. I didn't need to say, hey, Google. Can you tell me how long the first Maze Runner book is?
Here is information from Wikipedia.
It's 375 pages.
Okay, I think that is longer.
I only meant the original series, not the follow-ups. But I couldn't get into it. But I didn't really like it.
No, Percy, The Lightning Thief is longer than that.
Are you sure?
I think so. The Lightning Thief is 365 pages. At least my copy.
10 pages shorter.
Oh, darn it.
But I did really like Newt in the movies, and his ending made me very sad.
I know I read half of the first Maze Runner book, and I just thought it was a bit tedious. And I liked the concept, and I liked the movies, and I was always like, I know I would like these books, I just have to get through them. So maybe I'll give them another try. Annabeth Chase, happy birthday once again.
Yeah, maybe it's more interesting now that we're in, like, a different state of mind. But maybe at some point I'll give it another shot.
Yeah.
Because I have heard that they're very good.
Hey, I thought I'd update you guys on my party. It went pretty well. I had 5 of my best friends who all love Percy Jackson, too. Yes, we did have chocolate cupcakes with blue icing made by me. Awesome.
Nice.
Just like Percy had for his 16th. We played. So, wait, was it mushed?
It's like a big brick of a cupcake.
That was so cute. We played Capture the Flag and did some archery.
Nice.
So cool. Very on theme.
Yes.
We had entirely blue food. Nothing else was any other color. Color spelled with a U.
So Australian.
Love you guys. Annabeth with 6 hearts.
We got gypped, man. Every other time we've gotten like 7 bajillion hearts, and this time we only got 6.
Yeah.
Tsk,
but they're good hearts.
That sounds like super fun, though, and I'm not going to lie, I'm jealous.
No, really.
Especially archery. Where did this archery take place? That's what I want to know. In the car?
In the backyard.
I thought you said in the car.
In the car, firing out the window.
So I don't know if this is true, but I feel like Miss Annabeth is probably a hunter of Artemis because archery is cool.
Or maybe a child of Apollo.
Or Athena. Isn't Athena an archery person? Isn't she like archery too?
I think she's more planty.
Oh. Whatever. Anyway, sounds like a really cool party. Thanks for updating us, because I was curious about that.
Super jealous.
All right, so shall we read Owen's or Hannah's first?
Whatever one I find first.
Finding my way back to Camp Half-Blood. I love this subject line.
Great awesome. Subject line. You know how to hook us.
Hannah wrote us, Hello. Chiron probably thinks I'm gone for good when he sent me on a quest years ago and I never returned. Tell him not to worry because I'm finding my way back to camp. You know, Chiron probably doesn't care.
Probably doesn't. He's a very heartless centaur.
I'm Hannah, by the way, and I'm from the Philippines. I just discovered your podcast on Spotify and loved it. Thanks, Hannah.
Awesome.
I actually have a few buddies from the Philippines who are love Percy Jackson.
I know.
It's cool.
It's so surprising. It's great.
It's awesome. I was a huge fan of Percy Jackson when I was young. Same. I remember fangirling about the books with my friends in high school, and those were good times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm sure that I started reading it when I was in elementary and not a lot knew about it then. When I started university, I kind of stopped reading books because it got that busy.
Yeah. True.
I honestly
think one of the Heroes of Olympus books was the last book I read for fun before, like, college.
I believe it. It's a very busy time once you get to college. So this year, I kind of made a resolution to rediscover my hobbies.
Same.
I'm relating to this, you know? I'm feeling this. I'm making a connection.
Like, all of the reasons we started this podcast, yeah. Right here.
I just finished reading the PJO series, and I'm about to start on the Hoop. And all the feels just came back, you know? I know.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, I don't recall much about the stories because it's been that long. I used to know all the Greek myths, and it helped me ace my English classes before. My memory is failing me, sad face, but in a way it's better because it makes me feel like I'm reading it again for the first time. Snaps! So true! We literally have this conversation in the Discord all the time. I don't have anyone to talk to this about, so I tried looking for other people or a space where I could get more content, and here you are. I'm glad I found 2 wonderful and awesome demigods. It's fun hearing others' thoughts about the characters and the books. I'm so excited to hear and learn more from you, too. Sorry for the long email. I just had to let that out. Thank you so much, and may the gods be with you. Hannah, thank you.
Love you.
I'm so glad that you were able to find this crazy podcast. It's like 50% us giggling. And yeah. 50% actually insightfulness. But that's part of why we make this, is to be part of the great conversation surrounding these books. So glad that you enjoy it.
I love that people are coming back to this series. I feel like I know multiple people from just, like, our high school that are like, yeah, so I've been starting to read Percy Jackson again, and now it's actually pretty good. And I'm just like, girl, talk. Like,
yeah, so many people are listening now and, like, re-engaging because of the news of the Disney Plus adaptation. I'm like, yeah. It's like, still good. We've been
doing this, like, a whole year beforehand, so we're like old hats, you know.
Yeah. Welcome to the joys of it being so long since you read something. It's like it's the first time. Which, you know,
I love it. I love it so
it's
much.
It's great.
Because it's more people that we can, like, talk to.
Yes.
More people. Yes. Ideas. Flowing. Percy Jackson. Ha ha.
I mean, when we first started this, it literally just felt like we were posting. Like, when we posted our first episode, it was like, here's an hour and a half of us talking to the void. And now it's like people are actually listening to it and talking with us.
It's awesome. Great. It's crazy. We, like, set up this email expecting, like, freaking whatever, like,
nothing.
Warrior, whatever emails streaming from robots. And yeah, we're getting actually. It's exciting.
Yeah. Her first one, we were like, oh my god.
We have to make a full section.
Yeah. Hence, Feel Famous With Us was born.
Yes. All right. Ready for this other email?
Wait, I want to know why Percy Jackson is so popular in the Philippines. Is there a reasoning for that? Or is it just, like, good marketing?
I don't know. I hope there's a reason other than good marketing.
I mean, it's a great story. It doesn't, you know, it's not good that you're restricted to any one place. I just, like, it interests me how stories carry over into, like, different cultures and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's always interesting which stories are picked up more than others.
Yeah. Is it translated into Tagalog? Is it pronounced Tagalog or Tagalog? I don't know.
No.
But now I want to know if people read it in both or one or the other or what.
Well, our listeners need to tell us. Come on, friends.
Yeah.
Explain to us how you got a hold of Percy Jackson for the first time.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Let us know your stories.
I'm always interested by people who are, like, assigned Percy Jackson in school.
Yeah, imagine.
I feel like, imagine if you were assigned it. I would be so excited. But then at the same time, there are some people that as soon as a book is assigned, they automatically go, ew, I'm going to hate it.
Yeah.
So they don't do it. And it's just like, but it's Percy Jackson.
It's so good. Hopefully most kids who are assigned it are able to get into it despite the whole, I have to read this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, I don't even know. Like, what are the fun books that you were assigned? Like, I think I was assigned City of Ember at one point, but, like, in elementary school.
Is that the one where we went, oh, wait, no. That was on a field trip. That was just me going to a birthday party of a girl I wasn't that close with. That's nice that she invited me, though. I appreciated that.
Where it's, like, there's an underground city that...
Yeah, yeah, that is that one. Like,
I don't remember well.
Oh gosh, fun books in high school?
Oh, I was thinking
I was in AP. We didn't get to read fun stuff. But yeah, I don't think we got to read fun stuff in, like, the advanced classes. We had to read, like, Heart of Darkness and The Grapes of Wrath.
In high school, the only fun book was Timeline by Michael Crichton, who is the guy who wrote Jurassic Park. And it wasn't even technically assigned. It was basically, we had a medieval literature course or whatever section. And this was sort of a bonus book. Like, there was going to be two bonus questions on the final exam that's going to have to do with that book.
Oh.
Because it was a book of fiction, but it's a very good historical fiction that shows the medieval period very, very well.
Oh, I see.
It's actually a very good book. So I was, like, one of three people who read that book, and everyone failed the exam. Everyone failed the final exam. It was a really hard final exam. Everyone failed it. And we had like a bonus day, like before full like graduation, because it was a senior class.
Oh my gosh.
And failed it. You're coming back for summer class, summer school. And so our teacher had like a massive bonus, like points test thing. And like,
why didn't she just make the final
entire year? But the last section of all the entire like bonus quiz was only on timeline, and it's like, yes.
I actually remember you reading that and like telling me about it, and I was like, wait, is this assigned? And you're like, yes, but not really. And I was like, what? Why are you kidding me if you don't have to? And you're like, it's so interesting. There's bonus questions. But yeah.
It was interesting. And no one understood why I was reading it. And I was like, no, you don't understand. This is actually a good book. Everyone should read it. Like, oh. So, recommendation.
We didn't get to read anything fun.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I liked my
so
class.
If you were assigned to Percy Jackson, tell us about it. Did you hate it at first because it was assigned? And then, like, rediscover it because you're now listening to our podcast weirdly.
Weirdly. Tell us what brought you to Jackson, and if you're returning, tell us why. Is it just because of Disney Plus? Is it something more interesting?
We want to know.
Yep.
Because we want to know.
Because
we're curious people.
Yep.
It's the curse of Prometheus.
Yep.
Or wait, no. What's her name? No, not Prometheus. Pandora.
Oh. I thought you meant because Prometheus created humans and, like, gave us all this stuff. It's like, what?
And Pandora was created as a punishment for Prometheus. See how my mind...
Yeah.
It's attached somewhere.
All right. Anyway, thank you for writing, Hannah. Now on to Owen. Did you find it?
No.
The subject line is, you are the best, winky face, and so am I.
So this is from Owen, and he says, yellow. Yeah, I'm going to say it like that, because you wrote it like that, so it's going to be like that. Yellow. So, just listening to last episode of PGO, the lightning, or the last Olympian, sad face, agreed. Hope you prefer the subject line, Natalie.
I do. Natalie, it's much better this time.
And if you guys didn't catch it before, the subject line is, you are the best, winky faced, parentheses, and so am I.
I love it. And if you don't understand the reference, go back and listen to episode 33.
In regards to the timeline, I found it on Reddit or something like that. So, sure, I'm sure it's free. Yeah. I'm sure it. Yeah. I'm sure sharing is fine. Please. Also, there is a Gannett chart tab that doesn't have any of the reason spoilers if you want to look into that. Was on the Camp Half-Blood Reddit and saw a link to a fanfic which covers PGO books from Annabeth's point of view. OMG. I need
every single one of them?
I don't know. Probably not all of them. But I don't know. Let's find out, friends. Let's follow the link. Oh, no. Ooh, it's called Daughter of Wisdom. That's a good title already. Fun fact number one, Ethan Nakamura would have hit the pavement at a terminal velocity of 35
This says 53.
Is that meters, right?
53 meters per second, yeah.
Oh, what did I say?
35.
Yep. Terminal velocity of 53 meters per second. Which is 118.5 miles per hour. Or 90.8 kilometers per hour, and fallen for around 9.5 seconds, I think. I like that he says, I think, after all of these numbers. And he gives us the math if you guys want to see it. Do you want me to read it out? Should I read out the math part of it?
T
equals square root of a parenthesis 2 times 443 meters parenthesis divided by 9.81 meters divided by square root of 2 close parentheses equals 9.5 seconds. All right, now the velocity equals 9.8 meters per second
squared
times 9.5 seconds. That's what we got from T. Equals 93 meters per second, which is right less than no
greater than
getting eaten by. Yeah, less than 53 meters per second. Total velocity.
That's a greater than sign.
Oh, that's a greater than sign?
Yeah. I haven't
done math in a very long time.
So, yeah.
Fact number two.
I have no idea what any of that means, but thanks.
Now, someone's back there writing all those numbers down, checking his math.
Aaron?
Scientific process fact check, friends.
Aaron, fact check this math. Send us a graph with it. Peer review,
there we go. Fun fact number two. Not all the books say fly a blue flag. I'm gonna say Natalie made a mistake there. Natalie, well, you're recapping the last Olympian, the last chapter. Yeah, you said Percy, or they put up a blue flag on the last.
That's what it says.
It does not say that, friend. Not in my book, at least.
Hold on, now I have to get back to chapter whatever.
Because Owen is kind enough to give us the quote, says, he snapped his fingers and informed me that the top of the Empire State Building was now lit up blue.
This is not working! I mean, okay, I shouldn't say, like, I've been wrong before. Shockingly.
Yes,
it doesn't happen very often. I have to prove to myself if I'm wrong or right. The fates. The fates. You like my song?
It's a beautiful song.
Thanks. No, see, I'm not wrong. This says, I remembered my promise to my mother. Seuss didn't even blink an eye when I told him my strange request. He snapped his fingers and informed me that a bright blue flag, 50 feet wide, was now flying from the top of the Empire State Building. The mortals would just have to wonder what it meant, but my mom would know. I had survived. What? Olympus was saved. Boom!
Okay, What chapter is this in? Because I will read you from my book.
Chapter 20, we win fabulous prizes.
Okay. When does he say it?
Right after Apollo writes.
All right. He snapped his fingers and informed me that the top of the Empire State Building was now lit up blue.
What?
The mortals would just have to wonder.
Why? Why would they change that only for the Kindle version?
I don't know.
That is so strange.
We have found an error in publishing.
Yeah. Why don't you call out Rick for his inconsistent blue signals?
His inconsistent signals are driving me nuts.
Okay, well, let me just point out that I did not make a mistake based on the content that I had.
But Quinn. I guess I should have corrected you when you said it the first time, because my copy is correct.
Well, you didn't notice. So, boom!
I noticed it when I was re-listening to the episode.
Nice. Well, Owen didn't actually say that I was wrong. He said that it's not all the same. So, you're the one who had to make it who was right and who was wrong.
Fine, I guess. Come on.
So
okay, anyway, Owen, Engineer Tuck. He's a smart guy. All right. P.S. Breath of the Wild is a great game.
Yes, also, it is.
I'm British and found it weird hearing my name in American accent. You guys emphasize the syllables and vowels differently.
How? How else do you say Owen?
Owen.
Owen. Owen, mate. Come to the Smart Former, mate. Owen. 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 There's, how else could you possibly say the name Owen?
Owen.
Owen. Does he sound like, is it like, Uhtred with, like, I'm not leaving the children? I will not abandon Owen. That's hilarious. I'm so sorry, Owen. I'm not sorry because I can't help it. But I have no idea how else you could say that name. Like, it makes me want to look up English people or British people, whatever, saying the name Owen.
Is it like, I don't know, do you pronounce Sean differently? Like Sean versus Shin and Sheen and...
I have no idea. You emphasize the syllables / vowels differently. So it's like, so instead of like Owen, it's like Owen.
What vowels are we, or what?
He's gonna hate us forever.
I know. We'll never hear from him again.
Sorry.
We'll never get math again.
No, but now I want him to like send us a voice recording of him pronouncing his own name. Not to prove anything, just for, because I'm curious. I mean, it's like,
it's gonna be nuts. He's gonna like send it in and it'll be like, Mahroon. That's my name, Mahroon. That's how you pronounce it, but you know. It's spelled Owen, but that's not how you pronounce it. It's pronounced Mahroon.
Owen? Is it like that, but like all the time? Owen, you almost forgot your sack lunch, mate. Where's your jumper? Your jumper's back there. Owen? You left your jumper in the boot.
You're creating this whole thing for Owen, but you're barely saying his name.
Owen, come back, mate. You left your jumper in the boot. Owen?
Oh, poor, poor Owen. He's miserable right now listening to this.
He pointed it out. But I think it's cute that our non-American listeners keep writing to us about how funny it is to hear us say their names. He's like, George said the same thing.
How are you pronouncing George differently? Maybe you're supposed to pronounce it George?
I can't even attempt to do an Australian accent. Steve Irwin?
Nope.
Crikey! Crikey, mate! I'm like, I'm not even gonna attempt it, and I do. This is all terrible. Don't be offended.
Be terribly, terribly offended.
No. Nope. Remember our friend in high school who thought that she could do, like, a really good English accent, and it turned it into a Southern accent every single time? She'd start out like, hello, mate, how are you? And then it would just turn into like, hey, mate, I can't even do a Southern accent right now. How do you do a Southern accent?
Howdy there.
Howdy, mate. Howdy. Howdy there, gal. You got some real nice cut off denim shorts on your tractor. You want something bigger?
The only way that you can get into an accent is you have to say, like, really stereotypical stuff.
I have met tons of lovely people from the South. They don't actually talk like that. I just like basing it off all the stupid country songs that I hate because they're always about beer, tractors, and cut-off shorts.
But I have also met a lot of lovely people from the South who love their tractors, beer, and cut-off shorts. I feel like we talk so boringly.
Yeah. Isn't, like...
We're very boring speakers.
Isn't the Cleveland, Ohio accent, like, the TV accent? Love how you're drinking water out of a mason jar.
Yup. This is Midwest, maybe.
But anyway, this conversation
went way off. Yeah, I think the Midwestern accent was sort of became the TV accent. And we're taking over the world. Everyone will be speaking like us forever.
Although real Chicagoans, what? A lot of people who have grown up in Chicago, like, their whole lives actually have Chicago accents.
Like, oh, you have a bit of, like, just a teensy bit of a Chicago accent.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Cool.
Every once in a while. I think every once in a while when I get really angry, I randomly get a southern accent, which is, like, not like a southern accent, like, you know, like Indiana southern.
Yeah. Like, all right, anyway, so, thank you.
Huh? Anyway, hello. We're doing things. We're actually recording an episode.
Yeah. Thank you to both Animus. Thank you to George. Thank you to Hannah. Thank you to Owen. And thank you to patron Hilton for writing us, sharing your thoughts with us, asking lovely questions, engaging, being part of the conversation. We appreciate
it. Thank you all for listening. And I know there are some of you who are thinking, you know what? I have all these questions. I have something to contribute to the conversation, but I don't really want to type it out. Cuss out. But friends, don't have to type it out now. Just think about it and type it later.
Or, like, a lot of podcasts accept, like, voice messages. We could always try that, too.
Yeah. Talk into your phone and email it to us that way.
Yes. Yeah. Just don't send us weird stuff, please. Don't send us videos. We don't want videos of you. And I'm not gonna lie, if you bring up our accents, we will probably definitely butcher yours. In an attempt to be funny.
And it will make us laugh. It might not make anyone else laugh.
We do it with love, not because we're trying to be stereotypical, but because it's fun to try to do different accents.
It's fun. All right. Everybody understand that.
Yes. You can't tell me that British kids don't sit around trying to do American accents.
Oh, I know.
Just because this isn't really enough to make it, like, neither of these things is enough to make it its own episode. So we're going to wrap up some leftover Percy Jackson and the Olympians thoughts.
Yeah.
Because
we're always going to have more thoughts, so we might as well talk about some of them here, and so we don't make a different episode longer.
Yeah. And we're not going to be coming back to this series, so.
Sadness.
Yeah. Like, pretty much immediately after we stopped recording the last episode on the last Olympian, I realized that we didn't talk about Clarice.
Well, we did talk about Clarice, but not to the level
only
that
a little bit
to talk about Clarice.
Yes. Some of you may have seen this on our friend Fran's podcast, or whatever, her Instagram.
The damn, or oh my god, why can't I? The damn Percy Jackson podcast.
The right? Best damn camp podcast. Damn Thank Jackson. You very what much. The best damn camp podcast.
Oh my god, what? I feel like a terrible person.
You are. No, but she posted something about how Clarice deserved better and not to be made into an idiot for the plot, and people, like, lashed out. But
oh, people attacked her.
Yes.
And it's like, it's the truth.
It is. Okay, here's why, friends. Clarice was done dirty in the end of this book series.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's kept at camp this whole time during the entire Battle of Manhattan, and we're led to believe it's over the stealing by the Apollo cabin of a stupid chariot. We do not see her again until Selena brings her to the Battle of Manhattan. We see her being praised by her abusive father, which doesn't really make you feel good because, you know, he's an abusive jerk. And then we never see her again. At least not in this series.
Well, we see her, she's one of the people that throw Percy and Annabeth into the lake.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So we see her throw them into the lake.
She's just, like, she's a character that had changed so much through this series, and we got none of that. That she is a completely different person now, I think, from the Lightning Thief to the Last Olympian. She's no longer that kid who will bully the first person into the camp, or whatever, the new kid at camp. Mm-hmm. She's that person who will protect that new kid at camp, I think. Like, she still will, like, make fun of her friends. That's her character. That's who she is. That's what she does. But now it's done out of love. And we don't see that at all! And we get her seemingly enjoy the praise that she's coming from her terrible, terrible father.
I mean, she is grief-stricken because she just watched her best friend die. And then, you know, they're right in front of all the gods and stuff, and she's like, even if a parent is abusive, you can still want their, even maybe more so, you want their approval and their praise, and you want them to be proud of you. So it's like, I understand that, but I spent this entire book waiting to see a reconciliation between Percy and Clarice, and we did not get it. Instead, she's forced into this weird mythology role that doesn't fit anything. Mm-hmm. And then she's just, like, made into a plot device. And, like, her role in The Last Olympian just doesn't make any sense to me.
I know. I think in order for her role to make more sense, she needed twice the amount of page time or screen time, whatever. She needed to be there twice as much, because what we get is just nothing. And I sort of wonder if that's part of the reason why Rick sort of switches in the Heroes of Olympus series into going into different people's perspectives, because from Percy's perspective, that's all Clarice is. She's just this sort of side character. But if we had gotten just one chapter from Clarice's perspective, I think we should have gotten a lot more stuff out of it than we did.
It's so frustrating to me, because she's, like, built up throughout this entire series, from the girl who shoves Percy's head in the toilet to this girl who's brave and multifaceted and loving and scared. And then it just disappears. Like, there's nothing to conclude her storyline.
Yeah, it disappears with a smile towards Ares.
Yeah.
I think in Sea of Monsters, I like Sea of Monsters so much because of the amount of story time Clarice gets. She just has a really interesting story.
Yeah.
When she's interacting with her dad, and it's just heartbreaking.
And when Chris is, like, driven insane in the labyrinth.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't get a lot of Clarice and Chris a lot. Like, we don't understand their relationship other than, she flirted with him a little bit beforehand, so now it just makes sense that they're together.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, just give me, like, a few more sentences.
And it left me, at least, with, like, a bitter taste in my mouth toward Clarice, because it doesn't explain anything about why she wasn't there, besides a line given by Chris, who is not Clarice. So,
I know.
I was really disappointed that he built her up so much and then just dropped it.
I think he did sort of just put her into the role of, we need someone to fill this, like, Achilles role. Let's put Clarice there.
But why? Like, that whole thing just felt, like, forced.
I know. And then, like, I don't know. It just needed a little more Clarice time to explain it. And we didn't get that.
And I understand. And
maybe in the Demigod Files or Demigod Diaries, there's some more stories about Clarice, but it won't fill that you know, it won't fill that void that we need.
And there's a story about her in the Demigod Files, but it's not at the end. It's like, I don't even know, really.
Yeah, doesn't it take place between
I think it's
Titan's Curse and or Labyrinth and
Last Olympian? I think so, yeah. So, yeah, I understand that it's hard to wrap up, like, every single character, mm-hmm. you know, but just three she's paragraphs. She's a character that he
spent a lot of time with.
Yeah.
That didn't get a sufficient wrap up.
Yeah, so. Sadness.
Just disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Especially for Clarice Stans, Quinn and Fran.
Yes, forever. Do we want to talk about Nico at all?
What, how much I love him?
Sure.
And how amazing he is, and how I'm sad to see him become permanent emo Nico in Heroes of Olympus.
Yeah. It is sort of sad that this is like he's not dark in Percy Jackson, it doesn't seem, you know?
Yeah.
He's a sad kid, but he's not an emo kid forever.
He's also a badass who literally raises armies of the dead.
Ooh, yes.
And convinced his father to come out of the underworld and, like, literally fight a war.
I always have to take a moment and remember that Nico and in The Last Olympian is the same age as Percy in The Lightning Thief.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
You know, something about your sister dying and then being on your own for a couple of years really makes you grow up fast.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's just like when we leave him in The Last Olympian, it's just like, oh, he'll surpass Percy in the power level, it seems like, you know,
yeah.
Just because where he is now.
But we also
it'll be interesting to track as we go on.
We also leave him building his own cabin, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So he's finally going to have a home and potentially siblings.
Sort of on the topic of construction, you know how I told you that I had a dream where there was an entire, like, I don't know, building temple. Built to worship the gods in Camp Half-Blood?
Yes.
Some people were I put a post on about that in Instagram, on Instagram, and someone commented that I guess Jason might have said something about that. In Heroes of Olympus? So yes, I did dream that out of the
Maybe it was just like in the recesses of your brain from that time and someone brought it back up and you're like, oh.
I don't know because like it's still crazy the amount of detail that I rarely remember details from the dream. I have a full like detail
Weird.
Of this building. Mapped out in my brain.
That's so strange.
Yeah. Because you were like, oh, what, you've been watching Avatar recently, but it's not like the Avatar thing with the statues. It's like, foo, 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 foo. I don't know. It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I'm going to say. I can't say more because I don't know how.
What did you want to say about Grover's backstory? How he never got any?
Yeah. Like, I think we got enough, but it would always been fun to just get a little more. Who's Grover's mom and dad? Why don't we see any of them?
Do we see Uncle Ferdinand?
Yeah, as a statue. Piece of stone. Like, did Grover's parents die in some tragic monster attack and he had to be raised by Selenus and Lenius and Lenius and whatever?
I don't know. Yeah, we never get much on Grover.
No. Wait, other than the amount of his, I don't know, seeker duty.
Yeah.
And his
keeper
duty.
So if there's more on Grover's backstory, point us in the direction of that. And yes, we are reading the Demigod Files this summer, so.
We're getting there.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right, and now, Quinn has been maintaining this very long list of Demigods Among Us. So Quinn, do you want to explain this?
Yeah, so when we first started reading it, we started noticing, or well, at least I started noticing, that there's a lot of just random people and, like, historical figures that Rick likes to throw into these books and say that these are demigods. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep track of it. And guess what? I've kept track of it. And then also we made it available to our patrons. So they have also, there are a few of them have, well, mostly Hilton, but some people have contributed ideas of, like, their own headcanons of who historical figure-wise could be demigods, and then maybe who would be their godly parent and stuff like that. Because then there's some people in this series that we sort of are told, like, yeah, these people were famous demigods, but we don't get to know who their parents were. So instead of a fun, like, who do you think? And then, like, I have, like, biographies. And then also there's just strange historical rants by yours truly.
Shocker, said no one.
Shocker. But it's like, Harriet Tubman. Trying to get to the top of this list. Okay, William Shakespeare, that was mentioned in The Lightning Thief. I think they say he's a child of Apollo. I think that, at least that's what I wrote down. Edward Teach, aka Blackbeard, Ares, George Washington, Athena, William Henry Seward, Hebe. Which I just think it's cool because it's like, I feel like I forget that, like, oh, we've met a child of Hebe. What? This is a thing. And then Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. How could one forget him from the Sea of Monsters? I remember researching him. I don't remember why he came up in the Sea of Monsters.
Wasn't he one of the skeletal sailors that Clarice has?
I don't think he's one of them.
Oh.
Because he was a college professor from the state of Maine who volunteered during the American Civil War to join the Union Army and became highly decorated and respected Union officer, reaching the rank of Brigadier General and Brevet Major General. He is best known for his gallantry at the Battle of Gettysburg, which he won a Medal of Honor. So... hurrah! Then, Hilton suggested Rasputin, and he didn't suggest who might be the Rasputin's godly parent, but he did give some argument. He suggests Apollo. He's arguing for Apollo being Rasputin's parent, saying healing powers and the gift of prophecy indicate that he may have been a son of Apollo. Incredible resilience towards dying show that he may have been a demigod. Side note, also had a sick song named after him by Podium, adding to the Apollo theory.
I only know that song from Dance.
Ooh, the hardest dance on that dance revolute? No, not it, just dance.
Yeah. Harry Houdini?
Yep. I think that was a question. We didn't know who was his father. So it's either, I think it was either Hades or Hermes.
Maybe it was Hecate.
Maybe it was Hecate. We don't know!
Magic!
See, this is the thing. We have this page so we can discuss. And you get access to this page if you're on Patreon.
True.
Also, Hitler, obviously. Hitler, demigod.
Yeah. Child of peace.
Oh, my personal theory, Vera Brittain. She was an awesome person. I don't even really know how she would be. I think this was more of just me historically ranting.
Wow, that's never happened before.
Who would be her godly parent? She was a nurse. So maybe Apollo. Hello? But she was also, like, awesome. Ooh, I would say she, if nothing else, she was cursed by Athena, or not Athena, Aphrodite, because everybody she loves died.
And wasn't her husband in love with his best friend?
No.
Oh.
Her brother was in love with his best friend.
Oh. You've told me a lot about her on many occasions, so. I feel like I know a lot of random things about this person I've literally never read anything about.
If nothing else, you should watch the movie. Oh my god, why did I just forget the name of the fucking book? Testament of Youth. You guys, if nothing else, read or watch the movie Testament of Youth. It has Kit Harington, Jon Snow in it as Roland. Oh god, Roland.
Amelia Earhart.
He's cursed by Aphrodite, so be warned. It's a sad movie. It's also World War I, so it's gonna be sad. It's a sad story. But Vera Brittain is freaking amazing and I love her.
Nice.
Yeah. And she's on that list because I wrote a rant about her. Then also Amelia Earhart. She was mentioned in Sea of Monsters as a child of Zeus. Alfred Hitchcock. He was mentioned in The Last Olympian, but he wasn't really mentioned as a demigod, but you never know. So I put him on the list just because, and we can make arguments later.
Sure.
Mad Jack Churchill. This was also just a random me ranting about things. He was during World War II. He was the only guy during World War II on the Allies that had a confirmed kill with a freaking bow and arrow and stormed the beaches of Normandy waving a sword. He was amazing. and then also after he retired, like, he also, when the war ended, first of all, he was all like, darn it, I wanted to kill more people. So child of Ares, ? Also, probably. But maybe child of Apollo, because bow and arrow. And also he was acclaimed, I think the bagpipes. One time he was playing the bagpipes and in a band, and then they were direct hit by a shell. He was the only member of the band to survive because of bagpipe magic. Then also after he retired, he went off into the sea to fix boats and like learn to surf. So Poseidon, this man was amazing. Mad Jack Churchill, there you go. Then we also have Hunters of Artemis on this list because, duh, they're immortal, so they've been everywhere. But specifically on this list, we have when they went to the Third Battle of the Yips during World War I. Then the Beatles, they were mentioned in The Last Olympian, and I feel like they might have been mentioned other places, so we'll keep an eye on them. Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass. They were seen wrestling each other, so I sort of put them there because I wanted to do research, see if they actually hated each other in real life.
Yep.
Oh, this was a
pretty good list.
It's a fun document to keep up throughout the reread. Yeah. I'm definitely going to keep it up throughout the rest of the series.
Next, we'll have a bunch of Egyptian gods or demigods to add to it.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Nice. All right. Cool. Thanks for writing us. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for being our patron. You guys are awesome. And we'll be back we have a couple more collabs planned for y'all this summer that I think you will enjoy. before we get into our reading of the King Chronicles, which you will also enjoy. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Cool.
Our Teespring shop is up and running. It's the same stuff as the Redbubble shop, but I hate Redbubble on my end. It's a pain in the butt. So go check out our Teespring shop at teespring.com/stores/floor-600s-merch-shop. I'm going to make that shorter. I didn't realize that I was just going to put the exact name of the shop into the hot link. Or you can just go on there and search Floor 600. You can buy a Baby Centaur sticker. There's a Queen Sally sticker up there. There's a classic t-shirt design. You should buy it. You should buy them all. Send us pictures of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm on dogs.
We do love dogs. Don't
run a dog. Never mind. Never mind.
We should make a picture of... We should create a picture of Jackson, like a drawing of Jackson, and then put background barking. And then put Floor 600 podcast. We could do all our dogs. Wouldn't that be so cute?
That would be amazingly cute. We should do that.
Oh my god.
Now we just need to make pictures of our dog.
All right. Figure that out somehow. Also, we have the Baby Centaur naming thing is ready to go. We just need to post it.
Oh. Okay. We can post that when... Let's post that when we post this.
Okay. yeah. Anything else random you want to talk about, Quinn? Pin?
Probably, but not right now.
Okay. Alright, so you know that you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at floor_600 and Tumblr at floor600podcast. Email us to hear your words in our apparently hilarious voices at floor600.podcast@gmail.com. Join our Patreon to be able to contribute to the conversation even more and help us do cool things like buy microphones, pay for our hosting service, pay for Zoom so we can host these cool collabs that we have planned, buy books, all the things that make this podcast go at patreon.com/floor600.
Floor 600, that is us. Okay. All right. Well, it's been awesome. See ya next time, I guess. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.